broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I want to thank everybody at Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg.
He's the star of Iron Man. Two girls and a guy.
It sounded like you're dead. I mean,
I have a dream that one day this nation will...
Excuse me, what's causing global warming?
It's 2 inches long.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And where we go through the looking glass every night and beyond to take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't and they haven't. So I guess it's still up to us. Every single night coming up, we've got Dean Wheeler. And this hour, we're going to be talking with Bob Green on Martin Luther King Day and how employees and employers are handling this day off, non-day off. Some critics are upset over last night's Golden Globes, claiming the host, Ricky Gervais, was too mean. Was he? Well, we'll talk about that. A victim of the Tucson shooting has been involuntarily committed to a psychiatric center for evaluation after threatening a Tea Party leader. And as I said, we have Robert Green next, Dean Wheeler next hour. And our affiliate spotlight tonight here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show is WSAR 1480 AM in Providence, Rhode Island, and in Mobile, Alabama, WAVH 106.5 FM. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, watch live streaming video of the show, thousands of hours of archives, all kinds of podcasts, all kinds of downloads, and we're making them new every day. And pretty soon we will have not only the largest archive of radio material in the world, but we will have the largest downloadable archive of radio material in the world. Robert Green going to be up here in the first segment, and then Dean Wheeler talking next hour. In fact, Dean will be talking with us about the idea of gun control. Boy, that topic has reared its head again. Robert Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods, a large grocery chain in the Southwest and the Southeast. And today was Martin Luther King Day, Bob. And I want to talk to you about this day and why some employers give it off and some don't, you know. And is it a national holiday? What does that mean? And so on. How you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good, Phil, and a very happy Martin Luther King holiday to you and to your listeners. And it is a national holiday, Phil, but there is no federal mandate to pay employees on federal holidays. This is an option. If you do, depending upon the union contracts that you may have, it may be that you're paying them double time or time and a half, but there is no federally mandated requirement that we pay our employees. If we do, we do it because we feel it's the right thing to do. And sometimes in a recession, you are torn.
What did you decide to do?
Well, you're asking me the tough question up front.
Yeah, I mean, today, you know, the workday has ended. What did you decide to do?
Well, I ultimately decided, and I want you to hear me, as I went through this decision-making process, I felt it was the right thing to do to give my employees the day off, and that I would ask them to do one of two things. If I gave them the day off, they would have to take the day off without pay. If they came into work, I would pay them not double time, but I'd pay them time and a half.
So you're saying the law doesn't require double time or the union contract that you have?
Well, I don't want to get into talking about the union right now because that's I'll deal with them. But this was what I was going to offer my employees. And the reason why is because I feel that Martin Luther King Day is a very important day, a day that we respect the singular achievements of this man. And I was very happy to do this, and I was very happy to have a great many of my employees take me up on the offer. We did have some of the guys that work in the stock room, and a few others decided they were going to come in, a couple of my managers. Last night, at about 8 o'clock, I was listening to the news, and there was something on the news about President Obama. And it occurred to me that we have a black president. We have achieved a great deal of the dream of Martin Luther King, and so the need for a Martin Luther King holiday with a black president. I don't think anybody's really thought of this. In a lot of ways, it's removed. I'm not saying that Martin Luther King himself was not a great man. But with a black president, I did not feel that I sufficiently took that into consideration, and so I emailed as many people as I could, and I did rescind the offer.
And you rescinded the offer of a day off without pay or come in for time and a half. You rescinded that offer.
I rescinded the offer, yeah, and you sound a little bit shocked. So
well, I'm a little shocked because you're saying what? You're saying that because we have a black president, there is no Martin Luther need. There's no need for Martin Luther King Day.
I'm saying that with a black president, we already have a day off. We have President's Day, and with a black president, it is a step up from Martin Luther King Day. In other words, what we have now is an achievement that we achieved part of Martin Luther King's dream, which was to have a black president. And with that black president, we therefore do not need Martin Luther King Day as much, for instance, as we might honor President's Day. So I did send this to my employees.
Now, what time did you... So you rescinded this offer to your employees at what time?
Well, I rescinded the offer around 10 o'clock last night. And I sent it twice, though. I sent it out at 10, I sent it out at noon. And the next morning, I got in, and I got in pretty early because I wanted to see which of my employees was actually paying attention to this process and which ones... decided that they were going to take the day off and shut down their email and avoid me, which is what I saw that as being. They would avoid me and any change of heart or decision, and they would just go off on a vacation. And I took that as something akin to basically saying, you know, I really don't want to work there. And I saw a good 50% of my workforce come in. The other half, I waited till noon, and then I terminated them.
You fired people who did not come in.
I terminated them based upon, I gave them till noon. I had sent out three emails, and I also know that these people had not obviously anticipated a change of heart on my part. And that means to me that they just wanted to get out of town and not check their email. And that means to me they probably weren't interested in working for me in the first place.
So you fired half of your workforce when you changed your mind. And my question here is, why? First of all, wouldn't you think it prudent that if you're going to change your mind and say, you know what, I'm not giving you Martin Luther King Day off because we have a black president, wouldn't you think it prudent that perhaps these folks, a lot of them didn't hear you?
No, because I think it is well known across the country that Martin Luther King Day is a day that there's an awful lot of conflicting feelings about. And so staying close to your phone, staying close to your email, and essentially staying close to the communications that you have with your employees is the indicated thing, Phil. I don't know how else to say it. It was difficult for me to do this, but I've got to begin to figure out where we stand on this issue and exactly how we're going to work it out. And I had to fire these people because if half of them show up,
I don't. You're not explaining to me why you had to fire them. I mean, you're giving me a big song and a dance here about how Martin Luther King Day is not needed because we have a black president. That may be, and it may not be, but you're not telling me why you had to let these people go.
I let them go because they did not respond to an email that another half of my workforce did respond to.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show, talking to Robert Green. And we're talking here about Martin Luther King Day and whether or not employees get it off or they don't get it off. And he decided not to give them the day off. And then turned around, he decided to give them the day off, then turned around and decided not to give them the day off. And he fired the ones that didn't come in. And why? Because It's Barack Obama. Barack Obama is the president of the United States, and he's a black man. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, the number here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk to Bob Green from Fraser Foods, and we're talking about Martin Luther King Day, a day in which you fired a good 50% of your workforce because they did not show up for work after you gave them the day off. Now, I understand, you know...
Phil, remember that I did send them an email last night.
No, I know you sent them an email last night changing your mind and saying that you would expect them to work. Now, you sent it at 10 o'clock at night. Why would you fire people who might not have gotten the email?
Well, I think I tried to explain that, and I'll try to explain it again. I sent them this email at 10 o'clock at night expecting that they would see it because I just don't believe most of my employees are female. And women tend to hang on the computer a little bit more with emails, with Twitter and Facebook. So for someone to say to me that they didn't see the email because they thought they had the day off, and I know that I'm talking to a good of the, let's say we fired 15 people, and of the 15 we fired, 10 were women. You know as well as I do, that's a difficult thing to believe.
No, it's not a difficult thing to believe. Not for me it is.
Well, I said, most of these are women.
So you, most of them being women, you're saying, therefore, you fired them because they should have seen this email because women are on the computer a lot.
Women are on the computer quite a bit. They are doing, look, Phil, I know it puts me in a bad light.
Well, you're talking about firing people because they should have seen an email because they are usually on the computer because they're women. But you also said that you suspect they were staying away from the computer on purpose.
Absolutely, because they knew that I was torn about this day, whether I was going to give it to them off or not, and I decided no.
And you did it at 10 o'clock at night. Maybe they did stay away from the computer because they didn't want to hear about this. Maybe they did decide that they wanted to have the day off. For you to fire them because they didn't see this email... isn't that like saying, I gave you the day off, and so they go and they make plans, and then you change your mind? Isn't that a little unreasonable?
Is it not unreasonable for me to expect them to see a email when you know as well as I do that as females, they're going to be on MySpace or whatever they do?
And I think it's a stereotype to say that as women they're going to be on MySpace or they're going to be on whatever else, you know, Facebook or Twitter. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods on Martin Luther King Day today. He decided last night at 10 o'clock to send out an email telling everyone they're working because we have a black president, and so there's no need for a Martin Luther King Day. And
well, it was a very quick decision. There's no question about it, Phil.
All right. Well, and as a quick decision, you still expected people to see that email and to be to work. And if they weren't at work by noon, you fired them.
That is correct, because I felt it was reasonable to expect that they would see the email, given the fact that 10 of the 15 were females. And generally, women are sitting on Twitter and these other websites far more than men.
And I wonder how they would react to that. 877-876-PHIL, the number 877-876-PHIL. Here is Roland in Miami. Go ahead, Roland. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment regarding your previous caller and firing half of his employees regarding taking the day off. I think it's utterly ridiculous that he would decide at 10 p.m. at night, regardless of the holiday, whether it be Thanksgiving, Christmas, or whatever you want to call it, 4th of July, to send an email at 10 p.m. the day before to tell their employees that they had to come to work or they would be fired. Most individuals, whether in a small corporation or a Fortune 500 corporation, generally has an out-of-office message on their email once they leave that day. So if they're going on Friday and or Thursday, and Friday is the day they have off, most Americans do not check their email if they are on vacation or if they have their day off.
Well, these are not executives, sir. These are people that work checkout stands. They stock shelves. These are folks that generally are at hand. I had an inspiration. I don't know if you want to call it an inspiration, but I had a thought that I thought was valid.
Yeah, that because we have a black president, Martin Luther King Day is no longer valid.
I didn't say valid.
Or it's no longer an operable holiday.
I did not feel that it was, right.
All right, but what about what this gentleman is saying? Go ahead, sir.
If they are home, when individuals take a day off, they generally take the day off. That it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever to say that, particularly with women, that women are always on the internet. That it's somewhat a sexist comment, honestly speaking, that they're always on the internet.
Why would you say that? I think it's fairly evident that females spend more time on these social sites. And
I don't see that. Was funny when you said that, Bob. I don't really agree.
I've noticed that since this gentleman came on the line, you've agreed with everything that he said. And I understand you're the host of the show and you need to do that.
No, I'm being very sincere when I tell you that men are all over Facebook and Twitter just as much as women.
I don't know where you get that, honest to God. All I would say is I find it a real stretch to say to me, a guy that has worked around people for a long time, "Oh, I didn't see your email, Mr. Green, because I wasn't on the computer." Well, you know as well as I do, sir, people live on the computer these days.
Well, I think what this man is saying here is that it's a sexist thing to think that women are the only ones that are on the computer, and that it just isn't enough time to give people, you know, the night before when you change your mind, especially using the reasons that you've used, that, well, we have a black president, we don't need Martin Luther King Day. Roland? Sir, thank you very much for your call. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel in Tennessee. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Daniel, go ahead.
I have a question for Mr. Green.
Yes, sir.
What percentage of the employees that you terminated today were of African-American descent?
I really don't see color. It's an interesting thing. I don't know if I could answer that. I know them by name. I certainly know them by the position that they fill in my store, but I couldn't tell you.
Because I believe that the reason you did this on this day is because, you know, mostly it will be African-Americans taking the day off, so you did this just for the sheer enjoyment of being able to fire black people, basically.
Well, that's a very scurrilous thing, sir. Why would you say that?
Because, truthfully, this has... You call a duck a duck. I mean, this has racism written all over it.
Call a duck a duck doesn't mean anything. Why?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying they got racism written all over it. You just decided
to
hire some black people, and you use this day as your excuse. That's why
you're going to have to give me a better reason than that. You're going to have to give me a better reason than that. I don't think you're making a good argument at all. I said that because Obama is now president. Do we have a black president?
Well, yes, we do. I didn't vote for the guy, but yeah, we got it.
You have to think about that. You have to think about that. So we got a black president, and I felt that with a black president, we didn't need a Martin Luther King Day, and that's when I changed my mind.
You changed your mind, though, at 10 o'clock at night.
Yes,
okay.
10 o'clock.
And this guy didn't even vote for Obama, so, you know, why are you pretending like you care, sir?
Well, the fact is that you've terminated these employees who are now out here having to look for a job, and I believe you just totally did it for no other reason than the fact that you knew that it would be blacks taking the day off.
Right, but why do you don't care. You don't like black people.
I didn't say I don't like black people. What I don't bigots like you.
You don't. Well, you don't like black people because you said that you didn't vote for Obama.
That's got nothing to do with it. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. I don't know what that name is. Liam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I just have a quick question for Mr. Green. I just wanted to make a comment that I think that by your lack of decision making, that you have let down not only your business, but your employees. I mean, I'm an IT professional, and I know that I haven't checked my email in almost 24 hours now, and I have the utter faith in the people that I work for that they say I have the day off, that I have the day off. Because yeah, I know that the people I work for can make up their mind.
If they change their mind? If they change their mind because we've got a black president.
We know that we have a black president. Exactly. Phil Henry Show. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Robert Greene from Fraser Foods. Martin Luther King Day, why is this day always a big deal? It's a big controversial deal. What is the problem? I know that there are people politically that didn't like Martin Luther King, but the reality is it's a day off. Now you're saying that because we have a black president, why do we need Martin Luther King Day? Isn't it about the individual?
Well, I'm not sure what you're saying, Phil. You're saying,
is it not about the individual man, Martin Luther King? It's not about just a color of skin.
Well, it is about the color of skin from the point of view that Martin Luther King was fighting for equal rights for black people. And we have a black president. So the need to have a Martin Luther King Day is devalued, and the need for to pay attention to President's Day is given more value. Now, you ask me, why did I fire people when they weren't in by noon? Again, I expect my workforce to be intelligent and to be well-read and to understand that this is a controversial day. I want people by their phone all day long.
How does anybody enjoy their day off?
I don't understand what you mean, how they enjoy their day off.
How do they enjoy their day off when they're sitting by a telephone all day long waiting for you to call?
Well, they enjoy their day off by being at their home, being with their family. They've got their cell phone on, and I call, and I say I've changed my mind.
And then they get into work, and they get fired if they don't get the call on time.
Or in this case, I sent an email.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Victor in Greensboro. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. I have a question for him. I talked to my cousin that's a lawyer, and he firing these people in that aspect, they can sue him for wrongful dismissal.
Why? Why is that?
Because you told them that they have the day off. If they go away, they go out of town or anything like that, you can be sued for wrongful dismissal.
Well, again, you're not telling me why. Wrongful dismissal is if I were to fire them because they're black or they're women or they're mentally, you know, retarded. But I fired them for not showing up for work.
Well, but you already told them that they have the day off.
California is an at-will employment state. I can fire employees for anything unless it's a protected class, like if I did it for their age or their race. Otherwise, I can fire them for anything.
You can fire them for... And no, you can't. You can't fire them if they refuse your sexual advances, can you?
I didn't say that, Mr. Hendry. You know, why take it down that road?
Well, I mean, you can't fire them for just anything.
That is sexual harassment. That is illegal.
Now, what you're doing is illegal, too. I'm telling you.
You're telling me something that your brother-in-law asked your friend who asked a lawyer. I don't know that I'm getting it straight from the lawyer's mouth. And by the way, I do have an attorney. So thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that. But I've got a lawyer, and he knows the laws of the state of California very well.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to have a lot of lawsuits against you.
And if I don't, do you want to back that up with a bet? How about a wager? How about, let's say, let's keep it a gentleman's bet, $10,000.
Oh, get out of here. Not going to bet you anything. Thank you very much, sir. And I would wager, if you'll pardon the expression, to say that that man is probably right. Here's Ron in Mobile, Alabama. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, how you doing tonight? Good question. Do you compensate people on their time off to sit by their phones and to sit by their computers at your beck and call? What kind of compensation do you give them for that?
No, I don't.
Well, then how can you expect
it's the day off.
That's right. That's their day off. Do it as they wish, when they wish, and whatever time and whatever
You've never heard of being on call? You've never heard of being on call?
If I'm compensated, I'm on call. That's right. I'll be at the home and I'll be there if I'm compensated. If not, then it's my time to do it as I wish. So how can you fire people for not when they're not compensated for that?
Look, I didn't ask to have this holiday. It's a very controversial
holiday.
Is that a
policy of yours for people to sit by the phone at your beck and call when they're off?
I would like them to be professionals.
You would like them to be professional. Well, maybe they would prefer that you're professional as well and give them a response in a timely manner instead of 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night the day before.
Let me ask you a question. What is the point of having email if you're going to you're not going to check your email to see who wrote your memo?
That's my business.
You don't check
I choose. Do you pay that bill?
Well, wait a minute. Why do you have email then?
Do you pay that bill?
I pay you, and you pay your bill with the money
that
I pay you.
You pay me to be at work if I work for you, which I would never do so. But you pay me to be on the clock at that site. That's what you pay me to do for, not to sit at my home and wait for you to call me or send me an email. I'm not obligated in any way to check that at any given time.
So you don't feel that you should be, you don't think that you should be contacted at your home by your employer?
Excuse me?
You don't feel that you should be contacted at your home by your employer. And by the way, email is free, so I don't know who you're paying for, but you're paying, you know, you're paying some you don't have to pay.
Well, some email comes with the internet service provider.
Yeah, and some is free. Anyway, you heard what I asked you.
So you expected a person on their time off to not do what they choose to do with their time off, but to be at your
To check their free email.
No, wait a minute. A man's time is his own, is what this man is saying. He can check
That's
his
exactly
email,
right.
He can scratch his back, he can watch TV, he can go outside and lay in the sun, he can take a drive, he can do whatever he wants to do, okay?
And I asked the gentleman, doesn't he think he should also be in touch with his place of employment?
Not on my time off,
don't you?
No.
So you're just going to hide? Well, that's what I find to be very suspect.
I
can't hear you, sir.
You're doing on my time off. Not what somebody else thinks I should do.
Okay, both of you guys got really muffled there for a minute. If Ron, if you got your hand on your phone, and you, Bob? Take your hand off your phone. Yeah, that's way better.
Okay.
The gentleman, he's ashamed of what he's saying.
He's not ashamed of what he's saying.
Then why was he muffling his voice? I just want to say, if we don't need the day off, then let's not take the day off. It was a flash of inspiration. All right, maybe I sent the email out too late, but I think it's worth considering. We've got a black president. Do we need Martin Luther King Day?
You're not the legislature.
That's
you're not the
opinion.
Congress.
That's your opinion. That's not shared by everybody. That's your opinion alone. That's not shared by everybody. And everybody's right
in their employer.
Own opinion. I give you that. But
I'm the employer.
You have no right to fire somebody simply because they don't sit at your beck and call on their time off. If you're not compensating them for it. If you expect somebody to be in touch with you, you need to pay them for that.
That's a good point. All right, Ron, thank you very much for your call.
No, wait a minute. I didn't ask them to be at my beck and call. I just asked them to read their email, which they're usually doing when they're not playing Sims.
And they
see, you got
to
get the dig in.
Their time off.
You got to get that dig in, that which they're usually doing when they're not playing Sims.
You know as well as I do, Phil, that people are on their computers, they're playing Madden, they're playing Sims, Xbox, well, maybe not Xbox, you know, but you know what I'm talking about. And I'll say this, and I mean this with all due respect, porn.
So you are indicting the personal habits of your employees to say they could have been checking email if they hadn't been looking at porn. Ron, thanks so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kim in Virginia. Kim, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Robert Greene. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Greene, I think you're just a racist, and you say you're colorblind, but but you know we have a black president, and you know that Martin Luther King is black, and you probably knew that most of your employees who took off were going to be minorities, and so that was an excuse to clean the house, quote. But it's just ridiculous that you would take that at 10 o'clock fire people for not checking the email at 10 when most of the callers are right. Most people were probably out of town at 10 o'clock on a Sunday if they knew they had that Monday off. So why would they be checking their email? And if they're out of town, how are they going to make it to work? So that's just not a good excuse. And it's just ridiculous for you to make an excuse, oh, you're colorblind. And we don't need the Martin Luther King holiday because we have a black president. They have nothing to do with each other. Nothing to do with each other. We are honoring
them. Wait a minute. I think that there's an argument to be made. If you say that Martin Luther King's holiday is about the equality of people, we now have a black president, so that is one goal reached. Why do we need the holiday? You see,
it can be a black president. It is honoring of the March on Civil Rights.
It's honoring a great man.
So it doesn't matter that we have a black president now. It's showing that part of the dream has been achieved, but we're still striving for it. We're honoring the man and for what he strived for all people in this country, equality, not just because we have a black president. We don't have to honor him anymore. That makes no sense.
I had another problem, though, and it was one that I didn't tell you about, and it was one I didn't mention to you, Mr. Henry, and I know that you maybe you've heard of it, maybe you haven't. I had to also weigh this. If I give the day off to my employees, there's a certain segment, and you know who they are, Mr. Henry, and Kim probably does too. There's a certain segment of white employees that are going to want to have Jefferson Davis Day. You know?
Well,
get out of here. Jefferson Davis Day.
We have a Jefferson Lee Day here. And it's a paid holiday.
Are you kidding? We don't have it in California. We don't have it in California.
Well, are you kidding me?
You know, but you have minorities there too. And Obama,
well, what is this Jefferson Davis Day? What's Jefferson Davis Day?
He was the president of the Confederacy, and some whites are going to want to have that day off.
Oh, get out of here with that Jefferson Davis Day. We're talking about a national holiday. Jefferson Davis Day is not a national holiday.
It's a state holiday in Virginia, a state holiday. But they also gave the employees Martin Luther King Day off. In my job, no, it's not honored, but you can take it off for personal time if you want to, and that's my company's policy. But for you to wait till 10 o'clock to call somebody and email them and say, oh, you have to come to work, and suppose they're 200 miles away with their family, you want them to drop
them
and come back because you changed your mind, because you have
made a plea. I said, please come back. Martin Luther King wanted a black president, didn't he? So we've got one. So what are we honoring him for?
Are you kidding, man? This isn't just about having a black president.
Ma'am, if I said to my black employees, I said, please come back, or we're looking at a Jefferson Davis Day as sure as God made green apples.
Oh, get off that and go.
Are you kidding?
You and put you out of business, because you are ridiculous. You need a grip. Because that's just ridiculous. Your whole thinking is ridiculous. And maybe you were just trying to cut back, lay off, or whatever. But that was a little stupid excuse to fire people.
No, ma'am. I'm telling you right now, you know
it.
You live in Virginia.
It was your little win. You did it
on the state of California.
You didn't want to celebrate it. Then you should have put your butt to work and let them do what they wanted to do. You gave them the
day off. Let me ask you a question. You're a woman. Women live on Twitter and
Facebook.
Women live on Twitter and Facebook, and you mean to tell me they don't see a memo from their boss? Come
on.
You know what, Bob?
No, I'm not checking my email. I'm off. Why would I check my email for work if I'm off? No, I don't do that. Now, you might
do you understand the complexity? Have you ever owned a business?
Your responsibility.
Have you ever owned
a
business?
You told them.
Have you ever owned a business? No, see? This is what I got to put up with. One day, it's somebody wants Martin Luther King Day off, and the next day, I got some guy coming up to me with a jelly roll haircut, you know, and his cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve. Hey, when are we getting Jefferson Davis Day off? And I'm like, this isn't even the South.
You are stupid. So this, you are a stupid man.
Oh, come on,
really
Green.
Are
you really are. All right, thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Jefferson Davis Day in California? I mean, it is something they do in the South. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Robert Green from Fraser Foods on Martin Luther King Day. The fact that he did give his employees the day off, and then at the last minute, rescinded that and expected them into work, and by noon he'd fired half of his employees for not showing up. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Next hour, it's going to be Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center on gun control efforts by Barbara Boxer and others to reintroduce that topic of conversation into the American political discourse because of events in Arizona. So that's coming up. Right now, we have Robert Green from Fraser Foods. He's a CEO, a businessman, an employer, and is often on our program to talk about business-related issues. We're talking about Martin Luther King Day. Who gets it off? Who doesn't? You know, we're working tonight, Bob.
I noticed that. You're talking about giving employees a day off. You're working your crew. You know.
Well, I have my reasons for believing that in the radio business, in the entertainment business, this is not a day off. This is a regular work day. I've discussed this with my guys. But in your particular, you know, line of work.
Well, no. Hold on. You know, you don't get the Phil, and I have great respect for you. You don't get to get away with that. What about in my line of business? I'm a grocer. And on a day off, on a national holiday, you think that people would be coming into my store? For, you know, festive arrangements, they're going to have a picnic or what have you. Here in California, the weather's been very good, and we had people at the beach today. And you're telling me I don't get to make a dollar because all of a sudden I can't say, and I think it's a very sensible thing, wait a second, hold the phone. We don't need to have this day off. We've got a black president.
No, I don't think so. Not at the last minute. Not at 10 o'clock at night. Not with people possibly out of town. Not with people having made other plans. Let's go to a phone call. Lisa in Maui, Hawaii. Hello, Lisa. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Robert Green. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I believe...
Hello?
Hi. I believe that unless you
Hello?
Signed a... Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I believe unless you signed your contract that you're going to be available on your days off to call in or check your email or answer your phone, your day off is your day off. And unless
they're
paying...
That's a very good point. That's a very good point, Lisa, except my people are hourly. They don't really sign a contract.
What about the union contract?
Well, a union contract is a union contract. What's that got to do with it?
Well, what does the union contract say?
It says that national holidays, if you give your employees the day off, they get double time. If. So there you go, Lisa. See, so they don't sign contracts. Not like, I don't know, do you work in the entertainment business? Or for a bar or something?
So unless you're getting paid to be on call, that they can call you back, your day off is your day off, and you don't have
Good
to
point.
Be disturbed if you don't want to.
That is true, except this is a unique situation with Martin Luther King Day, and the reason why I say that is because Martin Luther King Day, like I said, there's a black president now, and that kind of wipes it off a little bit, you know? Yeah?
What, how does that wipe it off?
The black president that Obama is makes Martin Luther King Day about one half less necessary. See?
That's absurd. That's you know, it has nothing to do with Obama. I'm not supporting Obama, but in this discussion, it has nothing to do with Obama. It's a day. We're talking about the day off.
Yes, that's true. The day off. But I said at on Sunday night at 10, and this was before the day off started. The day off technically started at midnight. I sent them an email saying, I've changed my mind. I want you all in here at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Notice,
boy, you don't...
And they have no obligation to answer their email or answer their phone when they already, when told they had the day off.
They do not have any obligation, but they do have an obligation to be to work at 7 a.m.
Not when
not
you told them they had
told...
the day off. You changed your mind at the last minute, and... If they didn't get the message or chose not to check the message, you know, it's your loss, not theirs. It's not their problem.
And now I ask you this question as a sensible human being, not necessarily going by the book, but I would ask you this question, Lisa, as an honest human being. You know and I know that women are on Twitter. Come on. Why can't they answer their email?
If they love their job, they would be checking for messages. If they obviously they're not satisfied at their job and they feel that they have no feeling to check.
That's unfair, because if they're hanging on Facebook or they're going over to MySpace to get new artwork, or they're...
What do you mean? You know, you're making all of these assumptions. What are the guys doing? What are the men doing?
All right, I want it because we had an audience of women and children. Okay, the guys are there looking at porn. So why aren't they checking their email? And that's my question.
You're off. You know, you're totally off your rocker. It's their day off. They were told they have a day off, and they have no obligation to check messages. Maybe they saw it and they didn't want to respond. That's their choice.
So you think I'm nuts? You think I belong where that guy Fuller is? You think I need evaluation?
No, but
You think I need 72-hour evaluation?
I think you're expecting too much of your employees. You're being unfair to them.
No, you said I was off my rocker. So that's 72-hour...
Oh, who cares?
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
D movies, Toy Story, Despicable Me, Tron. Seems like
she stuck her hand up on the side of my face this morning.
Thank you to Benjamin, who is helping me continue
when
this.
When you're really ready to play Grand Nevada.
So many of these people are so poor, and they are so black.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast at 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what we're talking about. And we go through the looking glass and beyond to find that nice, comfortable spot of discomfort. We go places other talk shows cannot go and really couldn't go, even if they wanted to. A victim of the Tucson shooting gets involuntarily committed after threatening a Tea Party leader. Dean Wheeler is up next to talk with us about that. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Our website is philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. And I can tell you that in addition to additional merchandise in the Phil Hendry shop, we have discovered, and if ever there was an instance of a so-called lost archive of something, I'm telling you, we have one. We have a limited supply of Best of Phil Hendry Show 1994, man. I mean, this is the very first Best of CD that we ever did. We have a limited supply. It's not yet for sale. I'll tell you when, and there won't be a whole lot to sell, but we are going to make them available for sale just as soon as we sort of get our heads together on that one. But literally, we just discovered it. So check out our website, philhendryshow.com, for that. Coming up is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, as well as the Wheeler Hermitage up there. We're going to talk about this man, Mr. James Eric Fuller. We're going to talk about gun control and the discussion of bringing back assault weapons bans and the bringing back the ban on ammunition and so on. Prosecutors have formally charged this guy, a victim of last week's Arizona shooting rampage, with threatening a Tucson leader of the Tea Party political movement during the taping of an ABC News town hall-style television program. It's a very strange set of circumstances. Apparently, James Eric Fuller, he's 63 years of age, who was taking part in the televised forum, was involuntarily committed for psychiatric evaluation on Saturday after he grew agitated, stood up to snap a picture of Tucson Tea Party founder Trent Humphreys and shouted, "You're dead." He remains under evaluation. Now, here is a flashback of this man while he was recovering in the hospital from gunshot wounds to his knee and to his back. Eric Fuller wrote down some thoughts about the tragedy, which he shared on the radio program Democracy Now.
How many other demented people are out there
It looks like Palin, Beck, Sharon Engel, and the rest got their first target. Their wish for Second Amendment activism has been fulfilled. Senseless hatred leading to murder, lunatic fringe anarchism subscribed to by John Boehner, mainstream rebels with vengeance for all. Even nine-year-old girls, there was a little girl named Christina Green, 9 years old, who was one of the deceased.
All right, so now Trent Humphreys, who's the Tea Party leader there in Arizona, co-founder of the Tucson Tea Party, who was the focus of Fuller's outburst at the town hall event, spoke with CNN after the incident.
You know, I was making the point that, you know, sometimes we're really quick to jump on political angles, and maybe we need to slow down and look at the victims first and then have a discussion about the politics a little bit later. And then he rose from his seat, took a picture of me, and said, "You're dead." I think most everybody had the same reaction I did. He just didn't really say that, did he? You know, I think most of us wanted to think that we misheard what he said or what happened. And I think it took probably a good 2, 3, 4 minutes before it sunk in what it actually had happened.
Here is Stephen Cates. He was in the audience at the town hall event, and he told Fox News that Eric Fuller was being disruptive throughout the event.
It sounded like "You're dead." I mean, it didn't sound like a joke at all. People seemed pretty shocked at what he had said. There's lots of whispers in a. There's someone next to me that had turned to Eric and said, you know, "Now's not the time. This isn't appropriate. You need to sit down and be quiet. This isn't the time or the place for this." And he kept saying things like that whenever Eric would boo or make an interrupting noise at whatever the man from the Tea Party was saying.
What is all? Is that a bunch of noise there from, I guess, from the television program itself? Anyway, that is Stephen Cates. And we're bringing on now Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. And Dean, good evening to you.
Hello, Phil.
And I guess it's not the best time to bring you on to talk about the idea of some form of gun control or ammunition control right after this man, Mr. Fuller, is put into a psychiatric evaluation. What do you make of that?
Well, I'm still assessing it. I don't know why he is being held. I have to tell you, it's an uncomfortable feeling that I have when I hear that an individual stood up in a political meeting, said something, however disruptive, however pointed, and is now in a psychiatric evaluation center. I don't think that says. I don't think it says a lot for us, especially in keeping in mind the idea that the Soviet Union, not too long ago, would put political opponents into psychiatric evaluation. So,
well, you don't think this is political, do you?
I don't. I'm hoping it isn't. I don't know. I think what is interesting is right now we have the best opportunity that we've had for years to get some real good legislation in the control of semi-automatic, automatic weapons, handgun control, and overall gun control. This is the first real opportunity that we've had to move the American people in the right direction. I think the American people had gotten to the point where they were so beaten down by the gun lobby that they were just sort of given up, you know. This is the first time in memory where gun owners themselves are questioning, well, do we really need all of these? Do I need all of this weaponry? What am I afraid of, you know, and what am I paranoid of? What's, you know, looking in the mirror and asking, what is wrong with me that I live in the greatest country in the world and I'm armed to the teeth? So we have a great opportunity for the first time in a long time, and they put someone into a mental hospital who happens to share those beliefs. I think it's very suspicious. I think it is, you couldn't ask for a better, anything better in terms of public public relations for the right wing than to take someone who had just been shot by a lunatic and put them into a mental hospital. It's unbelievable.
Dean Wheeler, our guest here, our number 877-876-PHIL. Well, let's put aside for the moment, if we could, Dean, whether there's something nefarious or whether there is some conspiracy about Mr. Fuller being put into a psychiatric ward.
Well, I don't want to make that an issue, but I think it's very interesting, that's all. You don't find that interesting?
I think in life, sometimes what we think are planned events, I think in life when we think something is connected, I think oftentimes the sheer coincidence of it is really a statement that, no, this isn't coincidence, this is a logical sequence. This is...
How is it a logical sequence for a madman to shoot and kill and maim God knows how many people? One of the people that he puts in the hospital... And this is the greatest opportunity that we've had to actually control the flow of weapons in this country. The right wing knows that. And so suddenly, one of the people who's been shot gets up in a meeting, begins to rave, according to people, like a lunatic, and he's in a mental hospital. And you don't think that there is something... significant about that?
Well, I think no. You think it's conspiratorial. I think it is, in many ways, logical. I heard the way that guy talked. I thought he was a little bent. He might have been shot, and it's terrible, absolutely terrible. But you know, here's something: not everybody gets shot in this world. When you walk up to them with a microphone and interview them, will be dropping with pearls of eloquence and wisdom, all kinds of quotes. Sometimes they're just going to be they're people. And maybe sometimes the people who get shot are weird people.
Well, so what do you say? Are you telling me that not everyone that gets shot, some people deserve it? Oh, my God.
I didn't say that at all.
I think that's what you're saying. I think you're saying that that man deserved to be shot. Oh, my God.
And I didn't say that that man deserved to be shot. I said not everyone that gets shot and who is then... interviewed sounds like somebody that we want to hear, you know, in a in some sort of a retrospective on the ills of society. Now you're saying that we've had a great opportunity here for gun control. Tell me why.
Well, I'm still trying to process what you just said. You're saying to me that not everyone that gets shot is an angel, and that this guy probably deserved to get it.
No, I did not say that at all.
Be that as it may, Phil, my point is simply this. Barbara Boxer has been active, as have been other members of Congress, in reintroducing and getting this country rolling again on a long dormant discussion having to do with the control of firearms, the control of guns, if you will, and the control of ammo. And we are rolling and we are moving forward, and it is an opportunity that I don't think we should miss. And again, I think the most significant aspect to this is the fact that we have gun owners themselves who are now taking a good, long, hard look at what is in their hands, what's in their foot locker, what's in their glove box, and more importantly, Phil, what's in the mirror. We've caught a break, and I think it's imperative that we ride this, I'll be very honest with you, we got to ride this wave of anti-gun sentiment and start getting a better grip on gun use in this country. Why don't we have the opportunity?
Well, it sounds very opportunistic of you now. You're sounding like the political operative, you know.
Well, I think there has to be some political strategy. We've never had, the anti-gun movement in this country has never had this opportunity. And I think we need to get on this and ride it.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL with Dean Wheeler from the Wheeler Hermitage. And next hour, of course, is our news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. But right now we're talking about the opportunity to reintroduce the subject of gun control in this country. We've never had a better opportunity to do it. We've never had gun owners, according to Mr. And I haven't seen this. According to Mr. Wheeler, we've never had gun owners questioning their need for guns before like we do now. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Be back with Dean Wheeler in a moment.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler from Northern California as we talk here about gun control and how, in your opinion, Dean, there's never been a better time for the conversation of gun control. There's never been a better time for the topic of gun control to be brought up and to be discussed in the open. And there's never been a better time, perhaps, for, to actually see it come to fruition. You also mentioned something that I thought was very strange. I shouldn't say strange, but you said that gun owners are starting to question their own gun ownership.
Well, yeah. Let me give you an example. I was in, Phil, I was in, we were in Santa Rosa this weekend at a rally to support Barbara Boxer's call for tougher federal gun laws. And in that rally, and also in the rally, Senator Boxer was calling to include banning large ammunition clips and federal regulations on concealed weapons. So across from us was a counter-demonstration of gun owners, and you could see they were very half-hearted about it. You could see in the front row people looking a little confused. One of us went over to actually talk to them, and I asked them what was, you know, what was on their minds, and they, two of them said, we're not really sure whether we should be here or not. We're not sure whether we want to be here or not. And I asked them, well, why? And they said, because for the first time in my life, I'm looking at a gun. I'm looking at a weapon that I've purchased.
And what was he? What was the person holding?
It was some kind of a handgun. And they said, for the first time in my life, I'm looking at a weapon that I purchased, and in many ways, and he used the words, Phil, I'll never forget it, and I hate it. I hate the weapon. And I said, do you hate yourself? And they said, the man said, no, I don't hate myself. I hate it. And I said, you're on the right track. And I gave him some of our literature. And hopefully he'll be at the Hermitage. I don't know. But there's so many stories like that, Phil, that I could tell. We have another one.
This was where, in Santa Rosa?
That is correct.
And this was in support of a Senator Boxer. Now, I know that Senator Boxer, Barbara Boxer, is one of our senators here in California, in the wake of this horrible event in Tucson, is asking to, I believe, she's asking to get tougher with federal regulations on concealed weapons. I don't know what the federal gun laws are that she wants to address.
Well, it isn't just her. It's several other senators who want to, you know, limit ammunition. But to see a gun owner look at his own weapon and say, I hate it.
Well, what does that mean, I hate it?
He hated the very idea that he had it. And there he was standing there with all these other gun owners, and I looked at their faces. I went from one to the next, and they were all rather forlorn.
All right, our number is 877. I wished I would have been there. That would have been something to see. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We have to go remote now to Chuck in Chattanooga. Chuck, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Phil? Hey,
Can't hear you. I can't hear you at all. Can't hear you at all. I can't hear you at all. And so before you keep talking, get up to that phone and start
now?
Talking so I can hear. Yeah, that's fine.
How about
go ahead.
Now?
Okay. That's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, this guy is real.
No, nope, can't hear you at all, man. If you don't get it together on that phone, I'm moving on. So I got to start.
Okay, move on.
Hearing
move on.
You.
What's wrong?
All right. See you later. 877-876. Phil, here is going remote to Kennewick, Washington. Chris, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Chris.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm
you
fine.
You know,
thanks.
The regulations that you're talking about are just not going to do a thing except harm law-abiding citizens, and I do not agree with that one bit.
What are you talking about?
You're wanting to regulate ammunition. You're wanting to regulate guns. I'm a law-abiding
citizen. That is true, yes. That is correct. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I'm a law-abiding citizen, and I'm also a law-abiding concealed pistol permit holder in the state of Washington. And I don't think, you know, if somebody's going to go out and do something,
right.
Criminals don't care what the law says. Criminals have no, they have no need for the law. They're criminals. Hello?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But can I tell you something? If I were to have gone up to Jared Lautner, if I'd gone up to Jared Lautner and asked him the day before he did what he did, are you a law-abiding citizen? I have a feeling he'd say, yes, I am.
So now you're calling me crazy, though?
I'm saying that criminals lie, too, don't they? And they lie to conceal their intent. They lie to conceal their intent.
Sir, you say to me,
you're a law-abiding citizen. I'm not saying you're lying, but would I also be stupid for believing you? What would you think? How would you answer that?
No, I'd actually think you're stupid for believing what you're believing about these gun laws because of the fact that criminals don't give a rip about what the law says. They could care less. Whatever laws you enact, it does not matter. It matters zero to a criminal. If they're going to break the law, commit a crime, they're going to do it regardless of what laws we put in. You're only going to harm the law-abiding citizen here.
I agree with this gentleman.
Well, let me say something that you might... We'll give both of you gentlemen something to think about then. You may agree with him, Phil, but Jared Lautner wasn't a criminal until he used the gun illegally. So we have to stop people from using the gun illegally. You could
You're
go
wrong.
Out and shoot someone to bust. Are you telling me that he was a criminal before he used the gun illegally?
Yes, I'm telling you was a criminal. It's been proven. The police have interacted with this gentleman. I mean, I don't know if you've actually read everything that needs to be done here. He was a criminal long before he picked that gun up.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to say is this. Pretend like he hadn't done any of that.
Well, what do you mean pretend?
I can't
pretend.
Yes, you can. Are you saying, okay.
I cannot pretend. Do you understand me? Do you understand this man? This man caused mayhem. This man caused murder. And this guy did something to the American system of trying to assassinate a congressman, and you're telling me to pretend it didn't happen? Are you kidding me?
No, I didn't mean that. I'm saying you know that people who use a gun for the first time criminally never had a criminal, you know. Sir, tomorrow you could shoot someone, correct? So let's take away your gun before you do it.
What are you saying, man?
Are you going to protect my family?
The police, and the army can protect your family.
No, they can't. Guess what? You know what the response time is to my house, sir? The response time for the police department to my home is 5 to 7 minutes. Do you realize, sir,
that's fast. That's pretty fast.
Do you realize
that is really fast? If you think about it.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Do you believe that the climate is now ripe and right for a renewed discussion on gun control? Joining me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, as well as the Wheeler Hermitage. And Mr. Wheeler, who is a gun control advocate, and was attending a rally for Barbara Boxer in Santa Barbara, I think, over this past weekend, to call for tougher federal gun law regulation, believes that the time is right. And he joins us from Mill Valley, California. And Dean, I'll ask you, because you had said during our break that the airtight argument that you've given to Senator Boxer and the airtight argument that you've given to Senator Frank Lautenberg is what?
Well, the airtight argument, and the one that as soon as Senator Boxer brings this up, as soon as Senator Lautenberg brings it up, and also Representative Peter King, and he's a Republican, as soon as they bring this argument up, all of the pro-gun opponents just seem to melt away into the background, and it is the following. Everyone, before they used a gun, at one time was not a criminal. Lee Harvey Oswald had never killed anybody, and then he killed Kennedy. So to say that only criminals use guns, it may be true, but we don't know who the criminals are until they use the gun. You see, the gentleman that I spoke with a moment ago on the phone, some of the people that I spoke with at the rallies, have said to me, well, I want to protect my family. I want to have a gun. Well, if they go into an area like a political rally or a supermarket and they kill someone, they can say, I was not a criminal, and I can say to them, well, you are now. Do we really, Phil, want our... Do we really want to discover our criminals after they become criminals or before? And that's my argument. And it's airtight. It is. It's just airtight. And every time a Senator Boxer or Senator King, or Representative King or any of the other senators have used it, it has been as tight as my grandfather used to say, as tight as a possum skin over a barrel head, and that, you know, or a possum skin on a banjo. So I go ahead. You're an advocate of guns. You argue against it.
Well, I'm not going to try. It's a very hypothetical.
No, it's not hypothetical at all.
All right. Well, but to say that we won't know the criminal until he becomes a criminal, so therefore let's divine who he is.
What do you mean by divine?
I mean in some metaphysical or a psychic fashion. Who is the criminal? Who is the criminal? You're right. We don't know who the criminal is until he commits a criminal act. We also know, however, that individuals in possession of guns in areas where there was strict gun control. Let's take, for instance, D.C. Let's take, for instance, Chicago. The people that had guns were violating the law, were they not?
Oh, were they? Or were they homeowners and business owners that were getting around an unjust law? People that were trying to protect their homes and businesses, even though the law said they couldn't. Do you call them criminals, Mr. Henry? Or are they people of a like mind attempting to protect themselves?
I don't know, but I your argument, I think, sir, that probably we could use a little more time.
No, I think I've proven you can't argue me down. You can't, argue down against it.
And by the way, Representative Peter King supports the banning of bringing guns around U.S. representatives and senators. He is not, in favor of any kind of a gun ban per se. Here is, in Rockland, Illinois, Carol, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I think just basically my point is if somebody is in possession of a firearm legally as being a registered gun owner, or if they found a gun on the street that they were able to buy, if they want to shoot somebody, they're probably going to do it. The only thing I can possibly say in defense of being able to own a gun, no matter who you are, is that if I had somebody come into my home and they were pointing a gun at me, I'd feel pretty inadequate if I didn't have a gun to point back at them. That's just my opinion on it.
What about that, Dean? What about that basic bare-bones argument, and it is as clear as a bell, someone in your home?
We have, the man said that the police are 5 minutes from his home. And
5 minutes. 5 minutes. It's enough time to kill someone. And you know the commercial, it says, how long does it take to do the chalk outline of a body?
Oh, that is, Mr. Henry, that is scurrilous.
I'm quoting a commercial. How long does it take to outline a body as opposed to get the cops? I'm not knocking the cops.
I think you are. I think our very brave police and the great work they do, I think you are mocking them.
No, I am not mocking them. I'm saying that they're outgunned, they're outmanned. The American citizen has a constitutional right. You heard what the lady, Carol, just said. If she's got a gun...
And listen to what you just said, a piece. See the criminal kind of language that we use now? If she's got a piece. You use the words of a thug. Can I ask you, ma'am, a question? Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
Sure.
Is the lady there, Carol? Is that your name?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Carol. You can't shoot a gun if we stop making them. Isn't that right?
Well, you're right in that respect, but
there, okay,
all I'm
going to
say about
thank
that...
You.
But
thank you.
No, wait, no,
my
let her finish.
Is, though, no, thank you.
My point
thank
is,
you.
Though,
no.
Is that no matter
thank
who
you.
It
no.
is, if they really want a gun, they're going to get one. You can stop making them. You can outlaw them. But honest to goodness, if somebody wants to find a gun and use it, they're going to be able to find one.
If we stop making them,
Do you know what a zip gun is,
Dean? And then how
are
you going to remove all the other guns from everywhere else in the world?
But if we don't make them no more...
Oh, do you know what a zip gun is?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, I'm talking to a lady.
Carol, I was asking Dean. A zip gun is something that you can make a zip gun. You make it with a rubber band.
Oh, get out of here.
No, I'm telling you right now, a zip gun is a handmade gun that fires a projectile, fires it fast enough for it to penetrate the skin, and they used to use these in the old-time gangs. Maybe they still use them.
What are you talking about, gangs of New York?
Gangs of New York in the 1950s. How about that? In the 1960s. I'm talking about recent American juvenile delinquents. Zip guns. We can make anything. They make them in prison.
Oh, they do not make them in prison. That is a lie.
They make them in prison. I'm telling you. Talk to a warden and ask him about the stuff they... haven't you ever seen Lockdown?
No, I'm watching something else.
Well... Carol, thank you very much for your call.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can I ask
go
a
ahead.
Question real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
Your guest is talking about outlawing making guns ever again.
Yeah,
is that
right.
He's talking about just for the United States? Because I'm telling you, the other countries, the entire world would have to do that for that to be successful, period.
Well, I think we can't tell the French or our friends, how am I going to tell them not to make guns? But if we don't make any more guns here... We feel the moral authority of that and the moral,
Oh, brother.
What do you mean, oh, brother?
Do you think we're going to start knocking people out with how cool we are? Hey, we're not making any more guns, so everybody's going to stop making guns?
What a cynic.
Well, yeah, I am a cynic. Are you telling me that America, the world is going to go, oh, well, let's not make any more guns because Big Daddy's not making any guns anymore?
I think your guest is being very unrealistic. I really do.
That's a nice way of saying naive.
The grand
scheme
of things—it's just not. It's not feasible. I wish it was.
You know,
can I just say I wish it was? But it's just not feasible.
You know as well as I do. Oh God! You know as well as I do that President Obama has given us a chance. The moral leader.
They're going to think we're idiots, moral leader. They're going to look at us and they're going to say, boy, those Americans are really cracked now. They've really flipped. Who are they now, man? We don't recognize them anymore. Carol, thank you very much for your call.
Don't you think, too, that America would end up a huge target for every other country to come at us if we were under
armed? Oh, my God. We're not talking about not having tanks and stuff. And bombs. We're just talking about the guns that a civilian uses.
What? So we're still going to make guns for soldiers?
If you're going to ban guns anywhere, you're going to have to ban them everywhere. That's very cynical.
I think that's very naive. And
she's naive. You're naive, brother. All right, Carol. Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Dean Wheeler. You know, I don't mean to necessarily call into question your sophistication here, Dean. You know,
well, you've called me naive a couple of times. I don't necessarily take that as an insult, but I think it's a mischaracterization. If a rubber band was used against Representative Giffords, I think she'd be a happier lady right now, wouldn't she? When you talk about the zip gun and everything about it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. A zip gun is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Here is Justin in Peoria, Illinois. Go ahead, Justin, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
I had a comment for Dean there.
My comment was,
you're talking about wanting to take guns away from civilians. What if you went the route
That's where it begins.
Excuse me?
That's where it begins, yes, sir.
Well, I mean, my point to this is that I live in Peoria, Illinois. We don't necessarily have the gun bans and everything here. We're required to have firearm owner cards. But what if everybody had a gun? Talking as far as even you still have to get a license to carry, but do you think a bank robber, somebody's going to walk into a bank and want to rob a bank when he knows everybody in there's got a gun on their head? Are you saying that he's going to be more likely to do that? Because I wouldn't think so.
Well, you see, a criminal is a civilian before he commits a crime. So if you take the gun away from the civilian, you won't have a criminal. You see?
You didn't answer what this man said.
Well, That's a trick question.
No, it's not a trick question. If a guy walks into a bank, and like that guy at Virginia Tech, you know, there were people running out to their cars to get their guns when that guy opened up in that cafeteria. Do you think that...
Why didn't they come and kill him?
Because that guy had wasted all, excuse my language, killed all those people, and now he's off to something else. They couldn't find him. Do you think that those people, if they had guns in a bank, a criminal would go in and try to rob a bank?
I think, yes, he would try to rob the bank, and then, guess what? The civilians would shoot, and it would be, like, crossfire. I respect the police in Peoria, Illinois, even if this gentleman doesn't. And I trust the officers in that city will protect the citizenry from bank robbers. I'm sorry that, Justin, you don't trust your police. I think the PD and the county sheriff, you know. And
he's not saying he doesn't trust the cops.
You don't have a way of protecting yourself, sir. I mean, police can't always make it. I actually have one of my best friends. She had a car stolen. She saw them, actually, as they were leaving her apartment parking lot in her car, called the police, and they did not find it. They cannot respond that quickly. I mean, that's a guy...
I'm going to ask you a question now. Let's see how well you know the law. Let's see how well you know the law. You're with a girl. You're with your girlfriend, and she's her car gets stolen, and you both see it being stolen. You have a gun. What do you do?
Well, I'm not going to do anything with a gun.
See? I'm doing a little bit of
That's not the point of the question. Relate to police response time.
See? No, he's talking about police response time.
They couldn't catch a car in that city.
Right, exactly.
How are they supposed to even make it to your house before somebody shoots?
Exactly.
These people got 10 minutes to make it out of town, and they can't find them.
Yeah, and it stripped the car down, too, you know.
See?
See what?
How long does it take?
He didn't know what to do with the gun.
Exactly.
A second.
And it's not the point. Justin didn't bring that story up to say, oh, if I had a gun, I would have run down and shot these guys. He's talking about police response and how quick they can get to something and how burdened they are with other things.
Yeah, but you see how I was right.
No, I don't see how you were right. No, I don't. Not at all. All right. Anyway, Justin, thank you for your call. Our number, 877-876 for more of your calls here as we talk with Dean Wheeler about proposed weapons bans and ammunition bans and a lot of different questions arising about gun control. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, next hour we have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with our news hour. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
See?
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Back to your phone calls in just a second. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry needs. Now, you mentioned, Dean, before we get to another phone call, you had airtight argument number two. Your first airtight so-called argument you're not a criminal until you fire the weapon. What is your second airtight argument?
Well, this is the one that I'm the proudest of, and this is the one that I gave to Senator Boxer as well. And it's very simply this one, Phil, and it's going to make a lot of gun owners feel pretty stupid. On that terrible Saturday in the parking lot of that Safeway, in a state where people are allowed to carry concealed weapons, in a state where there is no real restriction against so-called self-defense using a firearm, a man opened fire, killed several people, and wounded several people. And in that state, where there is hardly any restriction on the use of a weapon to protect oneself, the man was taken down by an old lady with a handbag. Oh, you've got to be embarrassed about that.
Are you? No, wait a minute.
I'm telling you, you've got to feel bad about that. Are you telling me? What are you telling me?
What are you telling me? You mean the lady that knocked the clip out?
The lady that knocked the clip out. An old lady with a purse. Whoa! And I'll tell you something else, Phil. If all of these people are talking about there wouldn't be a this and there wouldn't be a that and there wouldn't be a something else, if only we had more people with guns, here's a guy that killed six people, wounded countless others, all right? And never was grazed by one, so much as one bullet, and an old lady with her purse. I mean, oh, my God, you got to be embarrassed by that, that an old lady...
Why would you be embarrassed?
Well, don't you think if you're a gun owner and someone asks you, so did you shoot him? No, but an old lady with a purse got him. Don't you think you'd... I would almost... It would almost drive me to tears if I were a gun owner and I had to say that. And the people that were there with guns, if they're being honest, that's what they've got to say from this day until the day they drop.
You know, it's very funny, Dean. You think this is all about embarrassing gun owners, restricting gun owners? Are they criminals now? After the people that were there with guns are probably happy that that's what it took. Probably happy. You know, by the time that this guy got done pumping off all these shots, all right, at a rally where people were there to meet their elected representative, I doubt seriously that had anybody gotten their guns out, okay, they would have gotten them out before the old lady knocked it out of his hands with the purse. Here is Scott in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Scott, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
No, that's I don't buy that argument.
Hello, Dean?
Yes, sir.
Dean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Scott.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I appreciate your opinion, and I
Thank
appreciate
you.
What you're trying to do, but I just want to let you know one simple fact. You know, if you do away with all guns and ammunition and high-capacity magazines and so forth and so on, it
yes.
won't matter, because even a person with very little training can kill another human being with a rolled-up newspaper. And if you don't have guns, that's not going to prevent somebody from jumping out of the bushes and beating you to death with a tree limb.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. But it takes a little bit more effort to kill someone with a tree limb, more time. A gun can kill someone like this.
Listen.
And so an individual being attacked with a tree limb has better chance of living than someone with a thing.
Sir, all
and
you have
thing,
to have...
What about the old lady with the purse? The old lady with the purse?
Yeah, I understand all that. But, sir, what I'm trying to tell you is if you have the intent and the will in your mind, you
right.
will do it.
The criminal
ever,
mind will...
I doubt you have ever had to face another armed or unarmed human being with a handgun or a rifle or any other weapon and know what it takes to take a human life. I bet you don't know.
I'm sure that I would handle it well were I to be in that situation. But I would not fear because an old lady with a purse...
The old lady with the purse knocked the gun out of the guy's hand. Scott, thank you very much.
She was probably very close to him, and she got the intestinal fortitude and set her mind that that was wrong, and she was going to try to do something to stop it. All right?
And she did.
Listen,
and she did
by that same time...
She had a purse.
Phil Henry.
You ever see a blind man sitting on the...
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
How many other people? How many other demented people?
It was a big year for 3D movies, Toy Story.
She stuck her hand up on the side of my face this morning, and I leaned over.
I want to thank everybody at Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, for his...
No, Phil, get off me.
Now, isn't that lovely?
Mark Zuckerberg for his what? World famous Phil Henry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where through the looking glass we go and beyond. going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, and our website, philhenryshow.com. If you'd like to watch our show, you could do that. With a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show each and every night, and soon we're going to be enhancing our video to, it's going to look good, you know, so we're enhancing everything, you know. We're enhancing our video to make me look better because I ain't enhancing nothing. Anyway, we also, of course, have our archives. We've got thousands of hours of archives. They are being turned into downloads as we speak. And we are also filling in the archives with years and months and days that were not there, quite frankly, on the original platform. So when we are finished, and we should be done this year with all of it, it's going to be the biggest thing to hit radio since, well, our website first went up. All right, so check it out, philhenryshow.com. Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman are with us. So would you guys, I know I made you watch the Golden Globes. You like it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I thought I'd be bored.
Yeah.
And the reason why we watched the Golden Globes for the second year in a row is because of the host, Ricky Gervais. Because I've not watched the Golden Globes, have you?
No, I not even know what it is. Uh-uh.
No, but who watches? No one watches the Golden Globes because the Golden Globes are nothing to watch. The Golden Globes are something having to do with the foreign press. There's nothing wrong with them, but it's not the Academy Awards. There's other things that are on television. We don't care, and that's, you know, you can see some stars. Yes, that is true, but you have to wade through a lot of garbage, like a lot of these award shows. It's just a matter of seeing a star or two. Well, all of these award shows would be through the roof popular. But they're not, because they have varying degrees of significance to us. And they're made significant to us for a number of reasons, one of which is how accessible the show is. And who makes the show accessible? The host. And who is hosting the Golden Globes for the second year in a row? Ricky Gervais, he of the original Office on BBC. He brought the Office to the United States as an executive producer and put it up here in the United States on NBC, and he's done a great many other funny things. The guy's just out of the park funny, in my opinion. Now, here's the headline, though. Golden Globe audience up, Gervais hosting panned. By who? I heard someone say today they think that panning, in other words, that they didn't like him, is bullcrap.
Yeah, I think that, too. I think they're saying they didn't like him. They make a big deal out of nothing.
Well, what do you mean? You're saying that they did like him?
Yeah, they're saying that they're making up the fact they didn't like him to create a phony baloney controversy. That might well be. There were some quotes from Robert Downey Jr., who Gervais had a couple of pointed things to say about being in the lockup at L.A. County Jail, a drug addict. I mean, it's just funny as hell, man. And Robert Downey was quoted backstage as saying some things that he didn't appreciate this and that. So, you know, it doesn't sound like it's a phony indignation. It sounds as if people, to some extent, didn't like what he had to say. But according to The Hollywood Reporter, his hosting was panned. It was only panned by people in the industry, not by the folks at home, because everybody that I've talked to who watched it thought it was funnier than hell. I did. President Philip Burke, who is the Hollywood Foreign Press Association president, also felt, according to this report, that Gervais went too far as the host of the Golden Globes. And when they asked him, is he going to be back, he said, no comment. He said he definitely crossed the line and some of the things were totally unacceptable, but that's Ricky. Well, if that's Ricky, then you cats knew that when you hired him, and so that's why we think it's phony, and that's why we think he'll be back next year, and that's why we think, and you don't need to phony it up. Ricky Gervais opened last night's Golden Globes with a joke about actor Charlie Sheen.
Welcome to the 68th annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel in Los Angeles. It's going to be a night of partying and heavy drinking.
Right on.
Or as Charlie Sheen calls it, breakfast. Wow. Whoa.
Yeah, that was a dud, but then it got good after that. Here, Gervais quickly took shots at Johnny Depp, Angelina Jolie, and their movie The Tourist, which was nominated for Best Comedy, Best Actor, and Best Actress, but that everyone universally agreed sucked.
It was a big year for 3D movies, Toy Story, Despicable Me, Tron. Seems like everything this year was three-dimensional, except the characters in The Tourist. I feel bad about that joke.
No, I'll tell you why. I'm jumping on the bandwagon because I haven't even seen The Tourist. Who has? But no, it must be good because it's nominated. So shut up, okay?
Yeah. Here's Gervais. He felt that Sex and the City 2 was robbed of a... This is a great joke. He felt Sex and the City 2 was robbed of a nomination.
There were a lot of big films that didn't get nominated this year. Nothing for Sex and the City 2. No, I was sure the Golden Globe for special effects would go to the team that airbrushed that poster. well, great job. Girls, we know how old you are. I saw one of you in an episode of Bonanza.
Didn't he have another line about zombies?
Yeah, he said, zombies are great. What about Sex and the City 2?
Was that him or was that Andy Levy?
Nah, man, it was Levy on Twitter.
No, it wasn't. It was him.
No, it was Andy Levy on Twitter. Anyway, it's a good joke. Ricky Gervais would have said it. All right, and perhaps the most awkward joke of the night came at the expense of two well-known Hollywood Scientologists.
Also not nominated, I love you, Philip Morris, Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor, two heterosexual actors pretending to be gay. So the complete opposite of some famous Scientologist, then. Probably. My lawyers helped me with the wording of that joke. They're not here. Okay.
Some of Gervais's most biting humor was directed at the celebrities he was introducing. Here he takes aim at Robert Downey Jr.
He's the star of Iron Man. Two girls and a guy. Wonder Boys. Sorry, these porn films. Kiss, kiss, bang, bang. Bowfinger. Really? Yeah. Up the Academy. Come on. He has done all those films, but many of you in this room probably know him best from such facilities as the Betty Ford Clinic and Los Angeles County Jail. Please welcome Robert Downey Jr.
I'll tell you, that's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you hear that now, you know, maybe they're serious.
You know what? If the guy says, if Philip Burke, the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, says that that's Ricky, then what? How can you possibly get anybody to believe that you didn't know the guy was going to do this kind of humor and that suddenly you are shocked and stunned and he's not going to be back and no comment? I think he's full of crap.
I don't know, man. Then I hear the joke. It sounds pretty bad. I mean, it's funny and everything, but you get whatever that guy. I don't know who that guy is. The one guy?
What guy?
Robert Downey.
Robert Downey Jr., he was in, what was he in, Robert? Well, come on, man, help me out. What was Robert Downey Jr. in? He was in Chaplin. He made Chaplin, Iron Man, you know.
I don't know.
He's a great actor, believe me. Let me tell you what, he's a great actor. But he did seem like he was pissed off after all that stuff. Here is another comment from this guy, what's his name, Burke. He says, any of the references to individuals is certainly not something the Hollywood Foreign Press condones. Robert Downey Jr., the butt, it was pretty funny though, man. The butt of one of Gervais's jokes said the show was, he said, Robert Downey Jr. had a pretty good line. He walked out, he said, other than the fact that the show has been hugely mean-spirited with mildly sinister undertones, I think it's going pretty good, don't you? And that got a laugh.
Yeah, that was good. He should have just let it go at that.
Exactly. Now, that's a good point. He should have just let it go at that. But he went on for about, I don't know, another couple of minutes on how mean-spirited the show was, and none of it was as funny as Gervais had been, so... Many critics seem to agree. L.A. Times TV critic Mary Meck. Now, the L.A. Times, always off the mark. Never. They haven't had their finger on the pulse. They haven't had their finger on anything, man, for a long time. Anyway, Mary McNamara at the L.A. Times wrote on Monday that it quickly became clear that his material wasn't just falling flat. It was making many audience members and presenters uncomfortable and even angry. No, his material didn't fall flat, Mary. Isn't that amazing that you can be a TV critic and not know how the audience is reacting? I mean, you're listening to it from inside the theater. Washington Post reviewer Hank Stuver wrote, somehow Gervais has lost some of his ability to be funny about being true. You blew it too. Gervais went after Burke personally with this joke. Gervais went after Burke personally with this joke when introducing him, saying, I just had to help him off the toilet and pop his teeth in.
Who is this guy Burr? I don't even know what a guy is.
He's the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press. This is the guys that sponsored this award ceremony. While Burke traditionally vets every word of the Globe script, he says that Gervais does not allow that pre-show scrutiny as host. That's not how Ricky works. Well, if Ricky doesn't allow you guys to vet his copy, if he doesn't allow you guys to vet his routine, and now you're all bugged, you know what? You're weird. Why would you invite a cat like that to host this thing, knowing who he is? Now, get a load of this. Burke says, I had absolutely no idea what Ricky was going to say, so anything I heard was at the same time you heard it. When you hire Ricky Gervais, you expect the unexpected. As for widespread rumors that Gervais was lectured during the show or kept from reappearing at key moments, Burke dismissed them as ridiculous. It was always planned that in the section of important awards, he was not going to be part of the show. He was never called on the carpet or given a warning or anything else. Burke would not comment whether he would recommend to the membership to have Gervais back next year. In a moment, in a statement released Monday, a representative for the HFPA said, we love the show. It was a lot of fun and obviously has a lot of people talking. When you hire a comedian like Ricky Gervais, one expects in your face, sometimes outrageous material. Certainly in this case, he pushed the envelope and occasionally went too far. The HFPA would never condone some of his personal remarks. Overall, however, the show was among the best we've ever had, and we're pleased. And not only that, they had the highest ratings of any Golden Globes, I think, if I'm looking at that correctly. Yes, they did. All right, we're going to come back with some other stuff. One of the things we're going to come back with are the actual awards that they gave out. And depending on your perspective, a halftime show at a lacrosse game either went horribly wrong or was incredibly sexy, kind of like Ricky Gervais. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
The best one,
Bud, and I got to agree with Bud. Welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show. The best thing of the night that Ricky Gervais did is he was talking about Hugh Hefner, and I can't even get into it, but it was a riot. It was just a riot. He's talking about Hefner and his young girlfriend, and somebody saying to her, "Don't look at it," and she's dry heaving, and you got enough. All right, The Social Network and Glee were the big winners at the 2011 Golden Globes. The big winners at last night's Golden Globes. Best Film, Best Picture, Drama, The Social Network. Best Picture, Musical or Comedy, The Kids Are All Right. Best Director, David Fincher, Social Network. And then Best Actor in a Drama, Colin Firth in The King's Speech. Best Actress, Drama, Natalie Portman, Black Swan. Best Actress, Comedy, Annette Bening. She was really excited about that. And she's a nice lady, beautiful lady. Best Actor in a Comedy, great actor, Paul Giamatti in Barney's Version. The best TV series was Boardwalk Empire, the Steve Buscemi on HBO, which I haven't watched. I don't know why.
Yeah, how come, man? You all love that gangster stuff.
I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why I've not watched that. I don't want to watch any more gangster stuff, I guess. I don't know. Best TV series comedy, Glee. Best actor for a drama, Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire. The best actress, Katie Sagal, Sons of Anarchy. The best actor for a comedy, Jim Parsons in The Big Bang Theory. The best actress was Laura Linney in The Big C. And then we have actress in a series, miniseries, or made-for-TV movie, Chris Colfer, Glee, and Jane Lynch in Glee. And there you have it, man.
What are you going to say about Colin Firth?
Well, Colin Firth really, he's a great actor. Did I talk about this yesterday? I don't even know if I did or not. But if you saw The King's Speech, the reason why I thought his performance was the best of anybody's, and they agreed. This guy played in this movie King George of England at the outbreak of World War II. Now, understand what was going on in England. His older brother, Edward, decided he wanted to marry this American chick.
Yeah, well, what was bad about that?
You're not allowed to do that. You can't. In those days, the heir to the throne couldn't marry someone who was divorced or a commoner or some bullcrap. I don't know.
Yeah, so I couldn't marry an American, right?
I don't know if you couldn't marry an American. There were some rules that he broke. King Edward. This is after the death of the king before. I don't know his name. King George, I guess. Anyway. So,
yeah, but the other guy was King George.
They had a bunch of King Georges, okay? This is King George VI is the guy that the movie's about. Anyway. So,
does that make the other guy the fifth?
I think he was the fifth, yeah. But just...
Shut up, man.
So anyway, make a long story short, Edward abdicates. That means he says, I don't want to be king anymore if I can't be with the woman I love. This is all a matter of historical record. You can look it up. They even got the recording of him saying, I want to be with the woman that I love, and so on and so forth.
He didn't do that.
Yes, he did, man. He got on the radio and he told the British people, I want to be with the woman I love. I will not be king. So he abdicates, and that means the younger brother, King George VI, becomes the king. Now, here's a guy who is married to Princess Elizabeth. Now, this is the lady that eventually became the Queen Mum. And this is a guy who's got a stutter. Nobody knows this except him and the family. He's got a stutter. George VI's predecessor was Edward VIII. Yeah, it was his older brother. So anyway...
What do you mean, a stutter?
I mean, he stutters. He's like... So anyway, Colin Firth plays this stuttering king, and Jeffrey Rush plays the teacher, the man who taught him and got his stutter under control. And it's a beautiful story, because this guy, who the king and everybody thought was a speech therapist, he was not. They thought he was a pathologist or a doctor. He was not. The guy just hung his shingle out as someone who could help you with speech problems. He had learned his trade in World War I, working as a medical officer with men who had shell shock. And so he wasn't a doctor, but through his experience working with these guys who had shell shock, he developed these techniques. And when he left the army and left the service in World War I, and he went into the private world, he began to help other people with these speech impediments. And so the queen, or the future queen, this Elizabeth, comes to him and says, you know, one of the princes, I don't know what the hell he was, the Prince of Wales or something, he's got this problem. And the movie's beautiful because he insists, you're not going to be the king, I'm going to call you Birdie. I'm calling you by the nickname they all call you. They called him Birdie, the king, the future king. So he was indignant and he didn't like it. But gradually these two men become very close friends. And the greatest thing about the performance by Firth, if you listen to the real speech that King George gave at the beginning of World War II, where he told the British people, we're going to war again, and we wish we were not, but in our lifetime, this will be the second war, and we are going to persevere. It's a very famous speech, and if you listen to it, Colin Firth got the man's vocalizations down pat. I mean, just perfect. And you are taken into that room on that day when King George gave this speech to the British nation, and he was in that room with his speech teacher, who said to him, just pretend like you're talking to me. He was nervous as hell. He didn't think he was going to get through it. He was sweating buckets. And he got through this speech brilliantly. And it's one of the most famous ever given by a monarch. And it was rousing and it inspired the British people. And King George and that Queen Elizabeth became two of the most popular monarchs England has ever had. They stayed in Buckingham Palace even during the Blitz. There was no running water in the palace at times. They were living on cots. They had no clean anything. They lived as the British people did, and they went into the bombed out areas and sort of gained a solidarity with the British people. So they're very popular. But at the beginning of the war was this poor stuttering man who didn't think he could ever be the king. And at one point, he was a naval officer in World War I. That's what George VI was. He was a Navy guy. And he said, I'm a naval officer, I'm not a king. And he proved otherwise. But anyway, the movie's great, and Firth plays this guy to the absolute T. What's the matter, bud?
What are you crying?
Yeah.
What are you crying for?
Just a bad story you told him everything.
Well, don't be crying, man. I didn't mean it to be sad.
No, it's not sad.
What are you crying for?
I don't know.
Will you get out of here? These guys are Anyway, we've got a little clip here from Natalie Portman. You want to hear this? Yes, we do. Here's Natalie Portman. She thanked her fiancé, Benjamin Millepied. Is that the guy's name, Millepied? After winning the award for Best Actress for her role in Black Swan. Natalie Portman.
Thank you to Benjamin, who is helping me continue this creation of creating more life. Benjamin choreographed the film, and also you might remember him in the movie as the guy when they ask, would you sleep with that girl? And he's like, no. He's the best actor. It's not true. He totally wants to sleep with me.
Wow. So there you go. That's why we wanted to hear that one, man. I guess I'm sounding a little retarded. Excuse me, not retarded. I mean a little...
You said retard.
I did not. And then Jane Lynch. We can't leave without hearing Jane Lynch.
I think the great thing about Glee for me anyway, the greatest thrill is that I get these 14-year-old kids coming up to me vibrating out of their bodies saying how happy Glee makes them. And, you know, when I have the time and I'm not eating and don't want to be bothered, I'll give them a moment of my time.
That's fantastic. All right. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, do we really need a bigger-sized Starbucks cup? Yes! 877-876-PHIL, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
Website philhendryshow.com, and these news stories for you now with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman along the way. And let's see. Oh yeah, philhendryshow.com. I already said that. And did I mention that we have the?
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'll mention it again. We have what were previously lost 1994 best of CDs from Miami, from our days in Miami. We now have found very limited edition in the cellophane still, right?
Yeah, these are like they've never been played, never been opened up.
So these babies are in the original packaging, and we'll see how many we have, and then at some point put those up for sale in our shop, philhendryshow.com. A lap dance at a Boston Blazers lacrosse game has fans vowing not to return as management apologizes. The Boston Blazers, this is a lacrosse team. You know what that is, Bud?
Uh-uh.
Lacrosse is, what is it, Robert?
Yeah, I think the Indians made it up, you know?
Yeah.
And they have a net, and they throw the ball back and forth of the net.
You like highlight?
No, not like highlight.
No, it ain't highlight, man. They run down the field with a ball and throw it in the net.
It's like it's a little net on the end of a stick, and the ball's in the net, and they go down the field throwing the ball back and forth.
Yeah, whatever.
That's about how most people think of it, too. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, the Boston Blazer lacrosse team lost a few loyal fans this weekend after a scandalous halftime show left spectators covering their kids' eyes. The halftime bit at Boston's TD Garden. Is this a indoor?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's supposed to be outdoor.
What was it doing indoor? Anyway, the halftime bit at Boston's TD Garden on Saturday night featured scantily clad dancers competing to see who could give the Blazers mascot Scorch the best lap dance. Well, not so family friendly cap. The not-so-family-friendly rap song Low blasted through the stadium. The racy stunt was caught on YouTube and outraged many fans, especially those who took their kids to see what was supposed to be an all-ages lacrosse game. On Sunday, the team president and GM Doug Refew posted a statement apologizing for the sexy show on the team's Facebook page. The Boston Blazers' halftime act for Saturday's game was clearly not executed according to plan. We're extremely disappointed with elements of the halftime show. We'd intended to provide an entertaining and fun halftime environment for our fans, and that is not what transpired. The Blazer organization values our fans and have taken their feedback very seriously. All right, so this is not the first time I mentioned that the LA Extreme in the old XFL had a couple of chicks in hot tubs in the end zones, in a couple of their games. And this got the attention of obviously the press. And I think what's very interesting here is, I don't know why, and I certainly would not, you know, if I had young children, I wouldn't abide it. But there seems to be some thought process on the part of some men that it's perfectly fine to expose children to this. Now, as I've said, I'm a man, and you can pretty much take me anywhere you'd like, and we'll, you know, into the funkiest dump you can think of, and in any border town you can think of, and I'm fine. But I just don't necessarily think that's for kids, see?
Yeah, but they didn't have a donkey show.
I'm not talking about a donkey show, bud. I'm just talking about topless women with children. Not good. Okay?
Why?
What do you mean, why? The fact that you guys even asked that question shocks the hell out of me. Why? Because that's not for kids. That's why. Now, if they say it's a family environment and they've got women who don't have tops on, well, it's not a family environment. I don't give a damn. If it was all men, not a problem. If it was all men and women, not a problem. If it was all adults, 18 and older, not a problem. But children, no. And this is not a difficult thing to get. This is not a hard thing to understand. This is this. But if they say, you know, to some stupid ass that they hired as the entertainment director of some sports team, you know, we got young men out there, so, okay. So this guy, not thinking, hires a lap dance for the team mascot. And those team mascots, as everybody knows, should all be taken out and shot, with rare exception.
Well, I don't know, that Philly, there's a couple that are pretty funny.
One? Which ones? Who?
Yeah, who? I don't know. Wasn't that Philly Fanatic?
Philly Fanatic? You know something? I don't know what's wrong with you, man. No, none of them are any good. They all suck. They're all based on that San Diego chicken, which was funny. And a couple of the other ones were funny. But after that, it just... So now comes the team mascot for the Blazers, and he gets a lap dance. So the team gets a complaint, and the team is stunned. And what they've done, basically, is they've rolled back any goodwill they've developed with their fan base. And it's a professional lacrosse team. You know, you would think they're having a hard time drawing fans. It doesn't sound like anything I'd go to see. It's not that I don't have anything against lacrosse. I just don't care, you know. There's no tradition of lacrosse in my family. Nobody's played it. I've never watched a whole game. It looks boring, and so there you go. One commentator wrote it was shameful. The Blazers, one of 10 teams in the National Lacrosse League, feature the captain of the U.S. national team and one of America's most recognizable names in lacrosse, Casey Powell, with tickets going for as cheap as $10. It's a well-attended attraction for kids in an area where lacrosse is extremely popular. That is in the Boston area, New England. But the team's 2-0 start might not be enough to keep fans coming back to TD Garden for the rest of the season. As season ticket holders, we also felt that the halftime show was completely inappropriate for your family atmosphere, one commenter added. Shame on you. Got to quit being stupid. The other thing about professional sports and professional sports teams, we got a lot of them. And with a rare exception, they never really take off. Now, arena football.
Yeah, I was going to say, arena football been around.
Arena football's been around with a lot of different changes, a lot of different teams. It's been around for over 20 years. So arena football, an option for people who cannot afford season tickets to the big teams, the big NFL teams. You can go to your arena football league and go and see the team. Like, I had season seats for the LA Avengers.
Now, what happened to those?
I gave them back. I mean, I didn't give them back. I stopped buying them. But I got those because we have no professional football in L.A. I got sick and tired of not having anything to, you know, not watching any football. So we went down there, and I had great seats, and we had a lot of fun. And I think that's one of the reasons why football, why arena football took off. Now, you got the WNBA.
No, nobody's going to go see the WNBA. That's fake.
Yeah, they're propping that up.
You think they're propping it up, huh?
Yeah, I think they are.
Well, they got a good following in some towns. The WNBA has been hanging around, though, for a long time. A long time, man. Close to, what, 12, 15 years? I don't know. But then after that, it all, you know, forget it, you know? No one, it's just nothing. And lacrosse, I don't give a damn. And what, do you remember that national roller hockey thing they had?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go out and watch guys on roller skates? Somebody's got to get with it. Now they got another football league, the United Football League. You know about this one?
I heard about it. I don't know when they're playing, but I don't know.
Yeah, the United Football League. They playing now? Or are they playing later in the year? I don't know. They play 11 games in the season. Whatever. The WNBA was founded in 96. We got NFL football. All we can handle is football, baseball, basketball, hockey. That's it, man. That is it. And I can barely follow football. And football's the easiest of them all. It's only 16 stinking games, playoffs, Super Bowl, goodbye, get out of here, you're done. You know.
What about baseball? You like that?
No, I'm not interested in baseball. I'm interested in basketball in the playoffs. And I'm interested in hockey sort of in the playoffs. But I don't care, man. I watch football, and that's about all I can stand. That's about all I can handle.
Yeah, but what about the rest of the year and everything, you know?
The rest of the year what, man? I won't sit on my ass and look at football. Look at the sports on TV.
What do you do?
What do you mean, what do? I got a life. I do other stuff. I sit on my ass in the autumn and I look at football on TV and thank you. There, Super Bowl, great, thanks. Gee, Phil, what are you going to do now? I'm not watching any more sports.
Yeah, but what about like the NBA and everything?
I watch the NBA. If the Lakers are in, I watch the finals. That's it. I'm done. No baseball, none of that. No. I don't have enough time, man. I don't have enough time left on this planet. Sooner or later, I'm going to be checking out, and then it'll be over. It'll be, oh, don't start crying again.
I'm just kidding.
All right. Coffee addicts have a new reason to celebrate. Starbucks announced Sunday it will begin offering a new menu, the 31-ounce Trenta cup. Well, how about that? The new size is 7 ounces larger than the current venti and will be used exclusively for iced coffee, iced tea, and lemon beverages, the company said in a press release. For a lucky few, Tuesday is the day to supersize your favorite coffee treat. In Arizona, Texas, Florida, and 14 other states will roll out the new size on January 18th, followed by California on February the 1st. So if you can't wait to get your big Trenta-sized cup of iced coffee, get over to Arizona, Texas, Florida, and 14 other states, and you can really get wired up, jacked up before February 1. Until then, February 1's the day in California. Love it or leave it! Sorry.
Wow.
The rest of the country will have to wait until May the 3rd. Ha ha.
How come they do that anyway?
How come they do that? I don't know. They just do it. They just make the rest of the country wait because we're the biggest markets. California is a big market. Florida is a big market. Texas is a big market. I don't know how Arizona made the cut. Anyway, the rest of the country will have to wait until May 3rd when all of the coffee shops in the U.S. will begin serving the Trenta. Starbucks Corp. has unveiled a variety of changes over the past several months. Now, this is one I didn't get this. Do you go to McDonald's?
Yeah, I go sometime.
Well, get a load of this. Over the past several months, as they step up competition with their newest rival, McDonald's McCafe.
Yeah, the McCafe's got, like, coffee and cappuccino, and they got biscotti or...
They got bichetti.
Bichetti? What the hell is that?
Bichetto.
Bichetto? What are you talking about, man? Anyway, in 2009, the world's largest fast food chain... are you talking about those little...
Yeah, those cookies.
I don't know. What are those little cookies called, man? In 2009, the world's largest fast food chain took a new approach to their menu and offered a variety of coffee house style beverages, including frappes, fruit smoothies, lattes, at much cheaper prices than Starbucks equivalents. But Starbucks continues to stay ahead of the curve because their coffee is actually drinkable, and McDonald's, it's, biscotti is what it's called.
Well, what's bruschetta?
Bruschetta, man, is like an hors d'oeuvre. Bruschetta. It's a biscotti.
Yeah, a biscotti. They put that little thing in a coffee.
Says here McDonald's does mocha, lattes, caramel mocha, cappuccino, iced mochas, lattes, frappes. Oh, and you can all barely keep them down. They're so good. All right, well, good luck, man. Coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 877-876-PHIL. What happens when you smoke in a bus in front of the driver? He kicks your ass off of the bus. Also, the Japanese think that they're going to bring back the woolly mammoth by apparently cloning it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Keep that music up there, man. Keep that music hot until I start talking. Now you can roll that music down as I just start talking. Roll the music down when you hear my voice, but only when you hear my voice. There you go. We got a great engineer. Great engineer. 877-87. Sorry, I forgot your name, man. You're brand new. But anyway, Jason will put it up on the screen.
Yeah.
It's Nick. It's Rick. It's Bick. It's Rick. Sorry, Rick, but you know, I butchered up Don's name for like the first 3 weeks, too. So 877-876-PHIL. Good job tonight, though, man. Seriously. All right. And because Charles is back in D.C. and they're putting together something. I don't know what. They're putting together a special surprise party. Long extinct mammoth. You know what that is?
Yeah, it's like a big elephant, right?
What?
It's a big elephant, bud. It's a gigantic elephant, and it had hair.
That's one I seen in that museum at one time.
Right. It's the long extinct woolly mammoth by using cloning technology to bring the ancient pachyderm back to life in around 5 years' time. Now, I know it sounds like something out of a goofy sci-fi because the Japanese made those marvelous movies Godzilla, Gamera, and Monster X and all that jazz, but these are actual Japanese scientists, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to do the same damn thing, and I'm not trying to make a joke about, you know, what if they mutate, you know, there's a mutation and everything.
Yeah, don't worry about it, right? You know, don't try not to think about, you know, Godzilla destroying Tokyo, because a woolly mammoth ain't going to do it.
Yeah, but it's giant.
It ain't giant. It's big. It's a big damn elephant. The researchers will try to revive the species by obtaining tissue this summer from the carcass of a mammoth preserved in a Russian research laboratory. Now, this mammoth that the Russians have, by the way, is a baby. And
what do you mean they got a mammoth?
They found a woolly mammoth preserved in ice, probably about 15,000 years old, something like that. The mammoth went extinct during the Ice Age. It didn't live much longer after the... In fact, the Ice Age is pretty much what... Or the ending of the Ice Age is what did in the woolly mammoth. The Russians found a mammoth baby, a baby mammoth elephant, preserved in ice. And they still have the carcass of this creature in ice. According to the Japanese, preparations to realize this goal have been made. This according to Akiri Iritani, the leader of the team and a professor emeritus of Kyoto University. He was talking to the Mass Circulation Daily, the whatever the hell it is, the Tokyo Times or something, you know.
Yeah.
Under the plan, the nuclei of mammoth cells will be inserted into an elephant's egg cell from which the nuclei have been removed to create an embryo containing mammoth genes. The embryo will then be inserted into the elephant's uterus in the hope that the animal will eventually give birth to a baby mammoth. The elephant is the closest modern relative of the mammoth, a huge woolly mammal believed to have died out with the last ice age. Some mammoth remains still retain usable tissue samples, making it possible to recover cells for cloning, unlike dinosaurs, which disappeared around 65 million years ago and whose remains exist only as fossils, unlike what you've seen in that movie, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, but instead they could.
Well, they lied. Lousy, stinking liars.
Yeah, they can't bring back no dinosaur like Jurassic Park.
No, they cannot. Now, this is pretty standard cloning procedure. Because, you know, when you take the egg of any animal and you empty it out, per se, you just have the egg and you put into that whatever genes you want. So, in other words, people were thinking, oh, wow, does that make it half mammoth, half elephant? No, it's a fully woolly, man. That's what we're calling it.
Yeah, we call it woolly bully.
Yeah, it's a fully woolly bully mammoth. And
what are you talking about?
I'm just making a joke, man. It's the woolly mammoth. In the egg of an elephant, and the reason being that the elephant can gestate this creature the best, and by that I mean carry it to term, be pregnant with it. You're not going to put a woolly mammoth egg, for instance, into a mouse, are you?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Yeah, a mouse, hell, man, unless it was a big mouse.
You couldn't find a mouse big enough, so it would be in an elephant. And so then comes the woolly mammoth. Now, the only thing that quite possibly could go wrong, but because this creature would be born under laboratory circumstances, would be any kind of a mother-baby relationship disrupted because the baby may be rejected by the mother. But I don't think that'll be the case because you're going to have all of these Japanese doctors hanging around with baby bottles, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work. So...
Yeah, boy, that space age, what are they going to make it for?
I don't know why they're going to make it. You know, I don't know. But to say that they can. And, you know, let's face it, it would be interesting to have an animal like that. But it would be kind of sad for the little guy to be just the only woolly mammoth around, huh?
Yeah, they better write a song about being the only woolly mammoth on Earth, you know. And it goes something like, well, I'll write it up. But I am feeling it, you know.
Yeah, that's great, man. Wow.
What are you talking about, like a blues song?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you write that up, man. Now, it's very interesting to note, and I'll just say this to you guys before we leave the air this evening. Where we live here in North America, 15,000 years ago, and we know this because of the La Brea tar pits that are right over here at L.A., and places all over the country, 15,000 years ago, if you were to look out onto the prairies of North America, you would see elephant, and you would see camels, because camels evolved here in North America and migrated to Asia and Africa.
Wait a minute. What are you saying?
It's true. It's true. Camels originated here and migrated to North America and Africa, and the Asia and Africa. And there's one other creature that evolved in North America, I believe, and that is the cat. And by cat, I mean the big wildcats. I think the saber tooth and others migrated into Asia and into Africa, and eventually their progeny, you know, their offspring, became the lions and the tigers that we know. So it wasn't all, it's very interesting. Mankind came out of Africa, but the animal world evolved in different spots because they were all different species.
What do you mean camels, man? Like the ones they got in Arabia?
Yes, Arabian camels were here in North America. And but if you go to the La Brea tar pits, you're going to find the bones of all kinds of whack animals, man. You ain't going to believe it. They got elephants. They got mammoths. They got, you know, they got everything down there.
What do they got, like a Morro Bay kangaroo rat?
What do you mean a Morro Bay kangaroo rat? Yes, I guess they do.
Oh, so that didn't evolve in Africa.
I guess not if it had the name Morro Bay kangaroo rat.
Might have been the African kangaroo rat.
Yeah, right. And then they found it in Morro Bay and changed the name. Our show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Rick Johnson. And, of course, our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. PhilHenryShow.com. And don't forget that Morro Bay kangaroo rat, man. That was a long trip from Africa. Say now, you know.
Ho, ho.
Phil Henry.